Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Radha Vrindavan Vihari Radha Vrindavan Vihari Radhe, Radha Vrindavan Vihari Radhe, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, प्रभुपा जय जय प्रभुपा। कलियुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानंजनाशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ये चालू कर सकते हैं इधर हरे कृष्णा रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवत Canto 4, Chapter 23, Verse Number 11. Tasya naya bhagavata parikarma suddha Satvatmanastat anushmarananupurtya ज्ञानं विरक्तिमद् अबोन्निशितेन येन छिद्दे संशयापदं निज जीवकोशं तस्यानया भगवत परिकर्म शुद्ध सत्वात्मनस्तद् अनुसंस्मरणानुपूर्त्या ज्ञानं विरक्तिमदबुन्निशितेन येन चिद्दे संशयं पदं निज जीवकोश तस्या नया भगवत परिकर्म शुद्धा सत्वात्मनस्तद् अनुष्मं समरानुपूर्त्या ज्ञानं विरक्तिमदबुन्निशितेन येन छिद्दे संशयपदं निज जीवकोशं तस्यानया भगवता परिकर्म शुद्धा सत्वात्मनस्तदनुसंस्मरणानुपूर्त्या ज्ञानं विरक्तिमदबुन्निशितेन येन छिद्दे संशयापदं निज जीवकोशं तस्यानया भगवत परिकर्म शुद्ध सत्वात्मना तदनु संस्मरणानुपूर्त्या ज्ञानं विरक्तिमदबुन्निशितेन येन छिद्दे संशयापदं निज जीवकोशं ओके वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग तस्य is anaya by this bhagavata of the supreme personality of godhead parikarma activities in devotional service shuddha pure transcendental sattva, existence, atmana, of the mind, tat, of the supreme personality of Godhead, anu samsmarana, constantly remembering, anupurtya, being perfectly done, jnanam, knowledge, virakti, non-attachment, mat, possessing, abhut, became manifest, nishitena, by serpent activities, yena, by which chidde, become separated, shamsaya padam, positions of doubtfulness, nija, own, jiva kosham, encasement of the living entity. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. By regularly discharging devotional service, Prithu Maharaj became transcendental in mind and could therefore constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord. Because of this, he became completely detached and attained perfect knowledge by which he could transcend all doubt. Thus, he was freed from all the clutches of false ego and the material conception of life. Purport. In Narada Pancharatra, devotional service to the Lord is likened unto a queen. When a queen gives an audience, many maidservants follow her. The maidservants of devotional service are material opulence, liberation, and mystic powers. The karmis are very much attached to material enjoyment. The jnanis are very anxious to become free from the material clutches. And the yogis are very fond of attaining the eight kind of mystic perfection. From the Narada Pancharatra, we understand that if one attains the stage of pure devotional service, he also attains all the opulences derived from fruitive activity, empiric philosophical speculation, and the mystic yogic practice. Srila Bilvamangal Thakur therefore prayed in his Krishna Karnamrit, "My dear Lord, if I have unflinching devotion to you, you become manifest before me personally, and the result of fruitive activity, empiric philosophical speculation, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, become like personal attendants and remain standing before me as if awaiting my order." The idea here is that the jnanis, by culture of Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge, struggle very hard to get out of the clutches of material nature. But a devotee, by dint of his advancement in devotional service, automatically becomes detached from his material body. When the devotee's spiritual body begins to manifest, he actually enters into his activities in transcendental life. At present, we have contacted a material body, material mind, material intelligence. But when we become free from these material conditions, our spiritual body, spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence become manifest. In that transcendental state, a devotee attains all the benefit of karma, jnana, yoga. Although he never engages in fruitive activity or empiric speculation to attain mystic power, automatically mystic power appears in his service. A devotee doesn't want any kind of material opulence, but such opulence appears before him automatically. He doesn't have to endeavor for it. Because of his devotional service, he automatically becomes Brahma Bhuta. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Mamchayo Abhyavicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samati Tenan Brahma Bhuya Kalpate. One who is engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Because of his regular discharge of devotional service, a devotee attains the transcendental stage of life. Since his mind is transcendentally situated, he cannot think of anything but the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the meaning of the word samsmarana anupurtya. By constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, the devotee immediately becomes situated in Suddha Sattva. Suddha Sattva refers to the platform which is above the modes of material nature, including the mode of goodness also. In the material world, the mode of goodness is considered to be representative of higher perfection, but one has to transcend these modes and come to the stage of Suddha Sattva or pure goodness, where the three qualities of material nature cannot act. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following example. If one has strong digestive power after eating, he automatically lights a fire within his stomach to digest everything and doesn't need to take medicine to aid his digestion. Similarly, the fire of devotional service is so strong that a devotee doesn't need to act separately to attain perfect knowledge or detachment from material attraction. A jnani may become detached from material attraction by prolonged discussion on the subject of knowledge and may in this way finally come to the Brahma Bhuta stage. But a devotee doesn't have to undergo so much trouble. By virtue of his devotional service, he attains the Brahma Bhuta stage without a doubt. The yogi and jnani are always doubtful about their constitutional position. Therefore, they mistakenly think of becoming one with the Supreme. However, a devotee's relationship with the Supreme God comes manifest beyond all doubt, and he immediately understands that his position is that of eternal servant of the Lord. The jnanis and yogis without devotion may think themselves liberated, but actually their intelligence is not as pure as that of devotee. In other words, the jnanis and yogis cannot become factually liberated unless they become elevated to the position of devotee. Then Prabhupada quotes Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Aruya krichrana param padam tatha patanti adho nadrata yushmad angri. The jnanis and yogis may rise to the highest position, Brahman realization, but because of their lack of devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord, they again fall down into material nature. Therefore, jnana and yoga should not be accepted as the real process for liberation. By discharging devotional service, Maharaj Prithu automatically transcended all these positions. Since Maharaj Prithu was a Shaktyavesh incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he did not have to act in any way to attain liberation. He came from the Vaikuntha world or spiritual sky in order to execute the will of the Supreme Lord on earth. Consequently, he was to return home back to Godhead without having to execute jnana yoga karma. Although Prithu Maharaj was eternally a pure devotee of Lord, he nonetheless adopted the process of devotional service in order to teach people in general the process for executing the duties of life and ultimately returning home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading chapter 23 from the fourth canto. So this is one of the interesting chapter where Prithu Maharaj, after performing his allocated service, his pastime in this material world, he goes back to Godhead. So this chapter, if you see, in the previous chapter, Prithu Maharaj performed the duties of a grihastha ashram. And after performing the duties of the grihastha ashram, in this chapter, he teaches how to perform the duty of a Vanaprastha ashram, because he renounced the grihastha ashram and then he takes to the Vanaprastha Ashram. And this chapter 23 explains his duties in the Vanaprastha Ashram. So, in the beginning, it has already been discussed how Prithu Maharaj retired from his grihastha life and he went to the forest. And in the forest, he performed severe austerities. It is mentioned that in the beginning, he was eating some roots, and then he started eating some leaves, and then water, and at last air. So it reminds me of another personality in Bhagavatam. Can you guess? Dhruva Maharaj. Same thing is explained. Na? He was also eating in the beginning roots, then leaves, then water, then air. In this way, Prithu Maharaj intensified his austerities. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, very practical application he writes, that you can't imitate Prithu Maharaj. That if you want to imitate Prithu Maharaj in this time and age, you will be very miserable. And we can see one disciple of Prabhupada, he was telling, I will stay at one place in Mayapur and I will chant 192 round and I will just eat some dry things. And Prabhupada denied that you can't do that, don't do that. But still he was adamant, no, I will do that. And he started doing that. And then Prabhupada, after second visit to India, when he came to Mayapur, he asked, where was that devotee? Other devotee told, he disappeared. And later, after a few years, they found him in one of the petrol station in Western country. And they asked that, what you are supposed to chant 192 rounds? What you are doing? Are filling petrols in the vehicles? He told that, I have chanted enough rounds. Now I want to have some relaxed life. So this is what happened. Prabhupada knew that you are not eligible to do that. Don't imitate. But he didn't listen. And he imitated the activities of great soul. And then the difficulties happened. So Prabhupada, in the purport, he writes a very nice practical application that how can we perform these austerities in this time and age. Prabhupada writes three things. First thing is write that take a vow. If you really wanted to perform, take a vow that you will only accept Krishna Prasad. That itself is a big thing for us in today's circumstance. Taking a vow that only I will accept Krishna Prasad is the first thing. And then the second thing Prabhupada is telling, that take a vow to follow the four regulative principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. The second vow. And then the third thing Prabhupada is telling, take a vow to chant 16 rounds every day. Just follow these three rules. It is enough for this Kali Yuga for performing tapasya. So that is a practical application Prabhupada is giving in this purport, in this sloka. And then in the sixth verse, it is mentioned that Prithu Maharaj started intensifying his austerity. Like in the summer season, he used to lit fire in the four directions. And from the top, the sun ray. So in the five directions, Panchagni, he used to do his austerities in the summer season. And in the rainy season, he used to expose himself to the rain. And in the winter season, he used to go into the river to till his neck. He used to sit there in the under the water and he used to perform tapasya. Like that he was doing in all the intensifying his tapasya. So then in the verse 7, it is mentioned, so what is the purpose of all these austerities? Why he was doing all these austerities? So it is mentioned, the only purpose is to please Krishna. The only purpose of all these austerities so that Krishna will be pleased. So like so many devotees we have also seen na? In Vrindavan, even gopis, they used to perform tapasya to please Krishna so that they can get Krishna as their husband. Especially the gopis used to perform Katyayani Vrat in the early morning in the Kartik mass. They used to wake up and they would take cold water bath from the Yamuna and doing all the austerities. So only to get Krishna. So devotees also perform sometime tapasya, and nowadays the Chaturmas is going and so many devotees sitting here also, they are doing Chaturmas, performing all tapasyas. Different devotees, they take different vow. Some take vow that I won't eat sweet. Some take vow that I will only eat once in a day. Why? Just to attract the mercy of Krishna. So that is what I explained in the verse 7. And then Chakravarti Pada explains, because he was in the Vanaprastha Ashram, so in the Vanaprastha Ashram, generally they perform all the austerities. So to teach the mankind, you are performing all these austerities. So to give an ideal example for the Vanaprastha Ashram. So that was his external reason, but the internal reason is to please Krishna. That's what Chakravadipada explains. So Prabhupada writes an interesting point in the purport. One must accept either the severe method of austerity explained here to purify his existence and then take to Krishna consciousness, or directly take to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada gives two ways. Either you take all this austerity and purified your anarthas, purified your existence, purified your subtle body, gross body, and once you are purified, then you take to Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna. Or else, the second method is, from the beginning you accept Krishna consciousness. Eat prasad, follow four regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna. You accept whatever the process. That's where the Prabhupada gives the two way. And obviously, the second process, second path is very easy. From the beginning, take to Krishna consciousness and blissfully practice the Krishna consciousness. Once Prabhupada was in the Western country, one reporter asked Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, what if you come to know that Krishna is not there in the fag end of your life? Then Prabhupada looked to that reporter and told, so what? We had a good time. We chanted, danced, and ate night prasad. So what's the difficulties? So then Prabhupada asked a question to that reporter. What if you come to know that Krishna is there at the fag end of your life? The reporter, what to reply? So Krishna consciousness, the process is a very blissful process. Krishna, Prabhupada has given, taking prasad, following for regulative principle, chanting, dancing in the Guru Puja. The life is so blissful. So that's what Prabhupada is telling. Either you take the process of austerity, purify yourself, then take to Krishna consciousness, or if you are intelligent enough, then in the beginning only take to Krishna consciousness. Life is sublime. And in the verse 8, it is explained, okay, suppose somebody is practicing this austerity, what is the result of this austerity? What he will get in this austerity? Three things are mentioned. Steadfast in the spiritual life, he will become very fixed up in the spiritual life. Second, free from all material desire. Third, mind become controlled. So once Prabhupada went to one of the life members' house and he had a nice feast, and all the devotees, they were eating like anything. And when they come to his temple, the one devotee, Prabhupada, my stomach is aching. Prabhupada, you ate 25 puris. And then he was thinking, Are Prabhupada, you only told that eat till the neck. The Prabhupada is telling, I was telling in the beginning, now you are a practicing devotee, now you should control your eating. Atyahara prayashastha. You should not eat more. If you eat more, then you will get all the symptoms. Then how will you practice devotional service? Then you will sleep for 8 hours, 9 hours. So now you should control your eating. So that's what is mentioned here. Devotee should control his eating. Then automatically the mind, the senses, that will also remain in control way. And then in the verse 9 and 10, yesterday, Harimadha Prabhu explained very nice that, okay, after practicing this austerity, ultimately what supposed to do? 9 and 10 explained that practicing devotional service. Verse 9 is explained that one should practice bhakti very nicely. And verse 10, again, verse 10 is intensifying that bhakti. That bhakti should be intensified. And by practicing it 24 hours, without abhyartha kalatam, without wasting even a single moment in the life, one should practice the devotional service very seriously. That is explained in the verse 10th. Now today's verse 11 and 12. So now Chakravartipada explains the connecting link to this verse 11th, that what a person, if he practices devotional service very intensely, then what happens? When a person practices devotional service very intensely, then something he gets in his life. What he gets? The the byproducts of devotional service, the taranga ranginis of devotional service. What all he gets, that is explained in the verse 11 and 12. Like Chakravartipad quotes a very interesting verse. The verse is like this. Hari Bhakti Mahadevya, all can repeat. Hari Bhakti Mahadevya Sarva Mukti Adi Siddhaya Bhuktya Cha Adbhuta Tasya Chetikavad Anuvrataha. So Chakravartipad is explaining Hari Bhakti, this Hari Bhakti, devotional service, is Mahadevi. Mahadevi means he is comparing Hari Bhakti with a queen, a big demigod, queen. Hari Bhakti Mahadevi. His Hari Bhakti devotional service is like a queen. Sarva Mukti Adi Siddhaya. Sarva Mukti, like jnanis, they go for liberation from this material world. Sarva Mukti. Adi Siddhi, the yogis, they go for the siddhis, Ashtasattvic Siddhi. They can fly in the sky, they can walk over the water, they can become a small, they can become a huge. All the Ashtasattvic Siddhis. Bhuktya, the karmis, they go for the material enjoyment. Bhukti, mukti, bhukti. And then, cha adbhuta tasya, all these three things are very adbhuta, very interesting, very attractive. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi. People are dying for this. You can show some miracle, then people will become thousands of followers. Hare, that Baba takes out gold from his hand. You become thousands of followers, you will get. So they are very interesting. They are very attractive in the material world. But what happened? Chetikavat. Chetikavat means all these three things are very fearful. And Anuvrata, they become maidservant to the queen. All these three things, they become fearful to the bhakti, the queen of bhakti. When she comes, all these three things become servant to the bhakti devi. And they come to serve bhakti devi. How they are serving bhakti devi? That is explained in this verse 11. Let's read verse 11. Tasya naya bhagavata parikarma suddha. So, tasya naya means what? By regularly discharging devotional service. Bhagavata parikarma. Bhagavata means devotional service. Bhakti. Parikarma means discharging it. Performing bhakti. Bhagavata parikarma. By regularly performing this devotional service, Bhagavata parikarma, tasya naya. Who is doing this? Tasya, Prithumaraj. Prithumaraj is regularly performing devotional service. Okay, by doing devotional service, what he is getting? Suddha sattvatmana tada anusamsmarana anupurtya. So, by performing devotional service, what is happening? The mind is getting purified. Suddha, the Suddha of the first line is connected with the second line. Suddha Sattva Atmana. Here in the second line, Atmana means mind. Atmana means mind. The mind is becoming Suddha Sattva. Not only Sattva. Sattva means mode of goodness. It is going beyond mode of goodness. Suddha Sattva Atmana. The mind is transcending the mode of goodness. So by performing devotional service, the mind is becoming Suddha Sattva. That is the second stage. Then what happened? Tad means what? Krishna, Radha Vrindavan Vihari. Tad, anusamsmarana. Continuously the mind was remembering Krishna. So when mind becomes Suddha Sattva, means all the vasanas, all the material inclination, that get clear. And 24 hours the mind couldn't remember the Ashtakalya Leelas of the Radha Vrindavan Vihari. That is called anusamsmarana. That is the third stage. And then, anupurtya. Anupurtya means, what is next? What is going to get next? That is the third line. ज्ञानं विरक्तिमदबून्निशतेन येन So when continuously the mind was remembering the Ashtakalya Leelas of Radha, Vrindavan, Vihari, what all Leelas he is doing, automatically two things he gets the byproduct. The first is Jnana, second is Virakti. Jnana Virakti. Jnana Virakti means detachment. Detachment from the material life and the transcendental knowledge. The Jnana and Vairagya, these two things as a byproduct he gets in his life. Jnana Viraktimad Abun Nisatena Yena. Nisatena Yena means what is next? So after getting Jnana and Vairagya, Nisatena Yena, what it will help, what it will going to happen in his life, that is the fourth line. Chidde Samsayapadam Nija Jiva Kosham. So, when the devotee, after getting this Jnana and Vairagya, this Jnana, Vairagya, what it does? Chidde means it destroy, it cuts. Chidde, Viraktimad means complete detachment, it completely cut. Abun, Nisatena Yena. Chidde samsayapadam. Chidde samsayapadam means, samsaya means doubt. So what kind of doubt a devotee might have? Doubt is nija jiva kosham. Nija jiva kosham means his subtle body. Jiva kosham. Kosham means the subtle body. Mind, intelligence, false ego. That is like a subtle body that covers the soul. So sometimes devotee thinks that, are mera anartha nivritti hua ki nahi? Are what stage I am now? So all this kind of doubts, it destroy. This Jnana and Vairagya completely destroy the subtle body only. If the subtle body is destroyed, then what is the other things? So that is what I explain in this sloka. So very nicely Chakravarti Pada explains, first he is performing Bhagavat Parikarma, devotional service, that leads to Suddha Sattvatmana. The mind becomes completely purified. That leads to Anusam Smaranu, completely absorbed in the lotus feet of Radha Vrindavan Vihari. And when completely attached to the lotus feet of Lords Radha Vrindavan Vihari, two byproducts he gets, Jnanam Virakti, Jnana and Vairagya. So when that person gets this Jnana and Vairagya, this Jnana Vairagya destroy Chidda Samsayapadam Nija Jiva Kosam, the subtle body of the soul. That's how this sloka explains in the sloka 11. Chakravarti Vaz gives a nice commentary to this verse. A weak commentary he gives. So Chakravarti Vaz explains that devotees are like the Chataka bird. Like the Chataka bird, she waits for the first rainfall. And she waits for the first rainfall to drink that water only. No matter whatever difficulties she has to tolerate, no matter whatever thunder strike, lightning, she waits for the first rain water. Similarly, the devotees are completely focused in pure devotional service. No matter whatever allurement, jnana, vairagya they may get, they are not attracted to that. Like the Chataka bird is not attracted to other water. She is focused on the rain water only. That analogy Chakravarti Pada gives. Now, although the devotee doesn't attracted to the Jnana and Vairagya, still the Jnana Vairagya appear and it does his work. That is explained by Kapila Dev also in the Canto 3, Chapter 25, Verse number 33. Jarayati asuya kosham nigirnam analo yatha. So very nice analogy he gives. Just like when you eat some food, Nigirnam analo yatha. Nigirnam means when you eat a nice prasad, analo, the digestive fire, he does his function. Automatically, the digestive fire digests the food. And you don't need to meditate on the food that my food is digest or not. Automatically, digestive fire analo digests the food. Similarly, jarayati asu ya kosham. Similarly, what happens? Kosham, same word, see, kosham, Nija Jeeva Kosham. Kosham means the subtle body. The subtle body, Jarayati, subtle body is dissolved by devotional service. When a person performs devotional service, automatically by asu means quickly, the devotional service dissolves the subtle body of a devotee. A nice analogy also comes, Chakravarti Vyas gives, that suppose you are cooking nice food in a firewood, then automatically you generate lot of ash. And nobody is getting attracted to the ash. I cooked for 2 hours and I got 2 kilos of ash. Automatically you get that ash and nobody is attracted to the ash also. Similarly, when a person performs devotional service, all this jnana, vairagya is like that ashes. Nobody gets attracted to that. Automatically it will come. Like when a queen goes, then automatically everything follows. That analogy is. Now a question may arise. Okay, if a devotee is not attracted to all this jnana, yogi, siddhi, then why does Prithu Maharaj accepted this Brahma Jnana? Here it is mentioned, Prithu Maharaj accepted this Brahma Jnana. Why he has accepted? So Chakravarti Bhad answers the question, because sometime, he gives an analogy, sometimes there is a huge feast. Suppose there is a big feast, now Radhashtami is coming. There would be a big feast and people eat lot of food that day because lot of varieties are there. Eh? Suppose after eating lot of food, generally, I have seen in the ashram, devotees ask, do you have any digestive? Pachak hai kuch? They take some pachak. Why? Because they have eaten a huge feast and they take pachak to digest it quickly. The same analogy is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. After eating a huge prasad, sometime we take some pachak. Why? To digest it quickly. Similarly, sometime devotees, while practicing devotional service, they get a desire to see God very quickly. And to see God very quickly, what you have to do? The devotees, they go back to Godhead very quickly to engage in direct service of God. So for that, they have to destroy the material body and the subtle body. So for that, they accept this jnana and vairagya. So that by utilizing this jnana siddhis, they can destroy the subtle body very quickly and they can go back to Godhead and involve in the direct service of Radha Vrindavan Vihari. So this was explained by Chakravarti Pad in the purport. And then, Shamsayapadam, what exactly the Prithu Maharaj's doubt? So Prithu Maharaj was thinking, do I have a subtle body or not? So that was the doubt of Prithu Maharaj. Sometimes like we touch, maine tilak lagaya ki nahi. So Prithu Maharaj was thinking, sir, do I have a subtle body or not? Should I accept this Gyan Vairagya, immediately destroy the subtle body? So this was the doubt of Prithu Maharaj. That is what the Samsaya doubt. So then Chakravarti Pad explaining, actually Prithu Maharaj was a Shaktyavesh avatar. He was a Shaktyavesh avatar of Lord. So being an avatar of Lord, he doesn't have a subtle body. His body was Sachidananda because he is an avatar of Lord. But then why Prithu Maharaj was thinking like that? He was an avatar, unko pata nahi chal raha hai kya? He was an avatar of Lord. And why his doubt was coming to his mind? So then Chakravarti explains, because of his humility, because of his simplicity, he was thinking himself as an ordinary living entity. So this is the humility of Prithu Maharaj. He was thinking that I am a simple human being. I have a subtle body. I have to destroy the subtle body. I should accept this siddhis so that I can destroy the subtle body and immediately I can go back to Godhead and again engage in Krishna service. So that was the humility of Prithu Maharaj. And another external reason, that to hide the glories of devotional service. To hide the glories of devotional service from the materialistic person. And these are the two reasons explained by the Prithu Maharaj. So, it's not that the avatars have to destroy the material body. He was thinking like that. But there are so many avatars, they have gone in their self-same body. Some avatars, they leave the material, some kind of a maya body so that to not disturb the materialistic person. But there are so many avatars, they went in the self-same body. Can you give some example of avatars who have left some body just to not bewilder the materialistic person? Left their material body, Vrishabhdev. And some avatars who have not left anybody, they went in the self-same body. All the Lord Ram and all the avatars like that. And same thing applicable to devotees also. Sometimes devotees also, they have their own willing power to whether leave the some body or not. Like some devotees, they leave some body, and some devotees, they don't leave. They went in the self-same body. Some example, can you say? Dhruva Maharaj. Our Tukaram Maharaj went in the same body, na? Similarly, devotees also can go in the self-same body, or sometimes they leave the body. That was explained by Chakravadipa. Okay. So now the verse 12. The verse 12 explains about how Prithu Maharaj is using this jnana and vairagya to destroy the subtle body. That is explained in the verse 12. Chinnaya dhir adigatatma gatir niryas tatyajate chinnadidam vayunena yena tavanna yoga gativir yatir apramatto yavat gadagraja katha suratim na kuriyat. So chinnanya dhir, so having destroyed the concept of being the body, chinna means destroying, anyadhi, that I am this material body, so this concept he destroyed, chinna anyadhir. Then what happened, having realized the form of paramatma, adigata atmagatir, atmagati means paramatma. So having realized that existence of the paramatma, atmagati, niriyasa, without any desire of siddhi, niriyasa, asa means desire, niriyasa, without any desire of any external material siddhis or some liberation, niriyasa, then what happened? Chinna idam, in the second line it is mentioned, tatyajate chinna idam, chinna idam, chinna means destroyed, idam means this subtle body, he destroyed the subtle body, chinna idam, he destroyed the subtle body. How? Bayunena means by jnana, so by he uses the jnana vairagya, by using this jnana vairagya, he destroyed the subtle body, and then tatyaje, then he rejected jnana also. So he used jnana, destroyed the subtle body, tatyaje, and he rejected the jnana itself. This is the difference between a devotee. But generally, the jnana is there attached to the jnana marg also. But if you want liberation, then he has to give up the jnana also. And fully he has to come on the bhakti. So here also, he gave up the jnana. Then what happened? Tavanna yoga gativir yatira pramato. So then it is completed. Then Sukadev Goswami gives an analogy about this jnanis and yogis. So yati means sannyasi. Here the word yati in the third line means jnani. Yati means here jnani. So tavat, as long as yoga gativir, as long as a yogi, a jnani is attached to the yogic process, as long as the yati, the jnani, the yogi is attached to the yogic process, apramato, and all that siddhis of the yogi, yoga, if he is attached to that process, yavat gadagraja kathasu ratim na kuryat. So, the jnani will be attached to yoga, siddhi and liberation. The jnani will be attached to all these siddhis till what point? Yavat gadagraja kathasu ratim na kuryat. Till he is not developing a taste in the pastime of Lord Krishna. Gadagraja means Krishna. Fourth line. Gadagraja kathasu. in the pastime of Lord Krishna, till the yogi is not developed the taste in the pastime of Lord Krishna, till that point he will be attached to the process of jnana and yoga. So the main point is that whether you are karmi, yogi, jnani, whoever you may be, you have to come to the process of devotional service. Then only automatically the attachment to the yogi, jnanic process will be dissolved. That is explained in this verses. So Chakravarti Praj explains, how could he give up all desire since he accepted the process of jnana? Somebody accepting the process about jnana, a jnani, how can he give up the jnana mark? So the simple process is that, take the advantages of the jnana mark and then reject the path. That is the, what the jnana mark explains. Then Chakravarti explains that when a person practices the siddha bhakti, devotional service, pure devotional service, there are two results, primary result, secondary result. Primary result he gets prema bhakti. The secondary result he gets jnana, that liberation, siddhi. These are all the secondary result. But when a devotee gets attracted to all this siddhi, then what happens? Then the bhakti becomes restricted. Suppose like that in Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, there also it is explained in the Madhurya Kadamanina. When you coming to the stage of Nishta, slowly devotee get all that, the six stages, he get that Taranga Rangini. The name, fame, prestige automatically comes. So if the devotee is attracted to the name, fame, prestige, then the bhakti will be restricted. He cannot advance in the bhakti. He will be there only. So devotee has to fixed up in his goal, that pure devotional anya abhilasa sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. He should be purely fixed that only pure devotional service I have to get, prema bhakti. Then only he can progress in the pure devotional service. And what is that strength? From where the devotee get the strength to say no to all this path? So Prabhupada is explaining, by practicing pure devotional service, he gets a taste in pure devotional service. And that higher taste, by getting that higher taste, automatically he can say no to this siddhis of jnanis, yogis. Automatically he can say no to that. That is how he is explaining here. Okay. So that is what we have read in these two verses, in this verse 11 and in the verse 12. So by practicing pure devotional service, the byproduct what a yogi, a devotee get in his life, jnana and vairagya. These two, jnana and vairagya, devotee is not interested, but sometime devotee uses this jnana and vairagya to destroy their material, subtle body, so that easily, immediately, they can go back to Godhead and again united with Krishna and can serve Krishna very nicely and very quickly can get association of Krishna, direct service. That was explained in this verse 11 and 12. Jai Gratra Srimad Bhagavat Puran ki chai. Ki chai.